What is going on, guys? This is your AEW Dynamite review for November 20th, 2019 from Indianapolis, Indiana. As the super chats begin to pour through, everybody coming into the chat here tonight, AEW NXT, going off the air a few minutes ago. Got two polls up this time, since I had a lot of people saying, well, how come you don't put any NXT polls up? Well, I got one up tonight. So you can vote right now on Twitter at Solomonster. And let me know in the chat. Let me make sure that everybody can hear me. So just type in 123 if you can. But you can vote right now at Solomonster. AEW poll is up. Thumbs up, thumbs down. NXT poll is up, thumbs down. Big go-home show tonight to TakeOver War Games coming up this Saturday. And, of course, the Survivor Series coming up on Sunday, which also involves NXT for the very first time. I'm getting a big dose of NXT this week between tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. And I would actually say that a lot of people, in a lot of ways, NXT has been carrying this company these last few weeks. Maybe not ratings-wise. Doesn't quite get the numbers that Raw and SmackDown gets. But think of how much worse this build would be were it not for the NXT influence on these shows each week. Hit that sub button if you are not already subscribed to the channel. And as I mentioned a moment ago, Super Chats are open for those who wish to donate. $10 or more is the Russo on a Pole donation. Otherwise, you will be seeing a whole bunch of random ones and funny alerts with your name on it popping up on the screen throughout the stream. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Casey DeMost. Jay Boozy. Also, thank you to Casey is Raw. He got a super chat in before I even went live. Said AEW to him was an 8.5 out of 10. I thought it was a very good show tonight. I have to say, very strong show. The last few weeks, I'd say the last like 3 weeks, the energy from the crowd. They were in Charlotte. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, I forgot where they were. Tonight, they were in Indianapolis. And the crowd energy, actually, I think it was Charleston last week. And the crowd energy really amplifies the show, really makes the show feel like that much of a bigger deal. And it just goes to show, you know, how infectious it can be when you have people who are into the product, who are going nuts for it. It makes it feel like an even bigger deal. So shout out to all three cities each of the last 3 weeks, and tonight was no exception. I thought that it was a very good show. It has been 1,627 days since Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks wrestled a singles match. Well, that ended tonight. This show opened with Nick Jackson as his brother Matt is storyline injured. So he was at home watching the show with his kids. Nick Jackson one-on-one tonight against Rey Fénix of the Lucha Bros. Fans were, and this again goes to what I was talking about, as far as the crowd, these people were coming out of their seats. This is before the match even started. These guys got a standing ovation before the bell. And it was just ridiculously loud to the point where I could barely hear the announcers. And then I started getting tweets from people saying, I can't hear anything. So I think what happened is the announcers were too low. I think it was a combination of the loud crowd and the announcers just were not mic'd properly. You could barely hear Jim Ross. You can kind of hear Tony. You could barely hear Excalibur. But I would say it was probably about midway through the show when they finally got it fixed. At least to my ears, they were able to get it fixed. But it was definitely noticeable here in this opening match. I just thought to myself, holy shit, these people are so into this thing, can't even hear the announcers. Well, they were into it, but I think that was more of a production miscue on the part of AEW. But in any event, this match was insane, in a word. I don't really know what other word would be good to describe it. MurderCute88, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Ian Israel with the $10 on a poll, bro. Thank you very much. Nick Jackson hit a delayed German suplex on the apron at one point to Fénix, followed that up with a springboard facebuster. And the way Fénix sells these moves, this guy's going to break his neck one day. But it looks tremendous. These you know, he top of his head, these spike bumps, as I like to call them. We had Nick Jackson hitting a springboard destroyer for a near fall, and he put a sharpshooter on. Now, I have to say this. A lot of people like using the sharpshooter. Sharpshooter is one of my favorite moves because Bret Hart is my favorite of all time. Okay, you want to win me over? Use a sharpshooter. Here's the problem. Very few people know how to apply the sharpshooter. I feel like Bret Hart, every time Bret Hart watches a sharpshooter like the one we saw tonight, he sheds a tear. And he goes on with his day because I don't think he probably gives a shit, but he sheds a tear nonetheless. Nick Jackson gave him what I call the Rock version of the sharpshooter. Crosses the legs, he turns over, and he stands. Now, I get that these guys probably don't want to hurt each other, right? You know, he doesn't want to break the guy's back. But for God's sakes, come on. You know, some guys, they crank back on that shit. They sit down, they apply pressure, it looks devastating. Unfortunately, we did not get that version of the sharpshooter here. Phoenix made it to the ropes. Nick tried for a tombstone. Phoenix pulled him into a cradle for a near fall. And in the end, the Phoenix driver wins it for Rey Fénix. I said on Twitter, I described it as an incredible sprint between these two men, which I think is you know, an accurate way to put it. I mean, it wasn't a short match. When I say sprint, I'm not trying to say that it was you know, a two-minute match, but it was nonstop action. Just boom, boom, boom. Very few dives. I don't even know if they did any dives here in this match. So all the people that usually complain about dives in the Young Bucks matches, I guess, would have to find something else to complain about here. Jacob Donnelly, shout out to Jacob in the chat, $5 super chat. He says, I am convinced that Rey Fénix is not human. Well, here's the thing. Rey Fénix is not human until he is. I always worry about him. Somehow he survives, but I always worry about the guy. But he got a great win here. This was just a fantastic little sprint. About 12 minutes to open the show. Nick went for a handshake, and Fénix refused. He left, he got booed. So, hell of a way to open the show. I did flip over briefly to NXT. And I'm not giving away any results here, but I flipped over and I saw Becky Lynch in the ring with Rhea Ripley. So, never let anybody tell you, or Triple H, when he says, well, you know, worry about the competition, you know, we do our own thing. Yeah. Is that why you're giving away matches like this left and right? Come on, dude. Come on. Just embrace it. Embrace what we all know. It's a competition. Nobody wants to lose. I'm shocked, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm a big fan of both shows, and I am shocked that NXT has yet to win a single week. And I would even go as far as to say that if NXT does not come out on top tonight, and I don't know that they will, but they sure went out of their way on Monday night to let you know, Triple H at the end of the show said, you know, hey, our door is open. Raw and SmackDown, you guys are invited. You know, here as we count down to Survivor Series, they're throwing everything they can out there. And again, I don't know all the big names who may or may not have shown up. I know Becky. And then I flipped it off, so I don't know anything else that happened. But don't let anybody ever try to convince you that there is not some kind of competition here between these two companies. If NXT doesn't pull it out tonight, I don't know when do they do it. If not tonight, then when? You're throwing the big guns out there. There were reports I saw that Roman Reigns was in town. Maybe he would be on the show again. I don't know if he was or not, but if not tonight, then when? Kind of crazy to think about. I expected it to be, you know, a little more competitive. And I guess we'll find out tomorrow if AEW goes 8-0. Dr. Britt Baker against Hikaru Shida. And a shout out to Rico Stevens for the $4.99 super chat. I would love to see Usos against Lucha Bros in a New Japan setting. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You'll notice we have not seen the Usos or Naomi. Since the, was it Jimmy? I believe it was Jimmy Uso. Got busted last time for the last DUI. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Usos and Naomi have been, they've been MIA since then. Hopefully he's getting whatever help he needs. Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. Now, I want to try to be nice about this because I believe Britt Baker may have suffered a nose injury. I don't know if she broke her nose. They were talking on commentary. It might have been a broken nose. I saw that her nose was bloody. Again, I don't know what the injury was exactly. But for the longest time, up until recently, I said that I didn't really see what all the fuss was about when it came to Britt Baker. She looks great. She's got a great story, you know, going and becoming a dentist and doing that while she's a pro wrestler. And it's this great story. I could see why AEW would want to build around her as one of the centerpieces of their women's division. The problem is, we have yet to see a Britt Baker match in AEW that you really look back on it and say, wow, that was a great match. Or here's a match that I can hold up as an example of why they should build around her or one day put the championship on her. I haven't seen it. Then she had that match with Riho that I thought was pretty good. And I said, all right, maybe she's finally turning the page here. Maybe we're starting to see the real Britt Baker. And then I felt like tonight was a giant step back. This match was average at best. And to me, in watching it, you know, it felt like Sheeta was almost slowing herself down to keep up with Baker. I don't know if anybody else felt the same way, but it almost looked like she was slowing herself down. But again, Baker was bleeding from the nose. Was that impacting her performance? I guess it's possible, but I just not impressed. Not impressed by what I'm seeing so far. There was a running knee spot outside. There was a chair set up. And Unknown Nemesis, thank you very much for the Corbin Krang donation. That's one of my favorites. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to join us here for the video stream. Anyway, $2 super chat. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Chair set up outside the ring. Running knee off the chair. Propels herself off the chair. Hits a high knee to Britt Baker. Back in the ring, there was a backbreaker for a two count. Sheeta hit a running knee again, made a cover. And there was a lockjaw attempt. Britt Baker got the lockjaw on. Sheeta got to the ropes. And a few moments later, we had Hikaru Shida using an inside cradle and a falcon arrow. Got a couple of near falls out of it. One more running knee. And finally, she got the pin. You know, from what I've seen and heard of Hikaru Shida, she's very good. I'm still waiting on that breakout performance, though, from Britt Baker. I'm hoping it comes one of these days. But I have yet to see it. Then we have the Dark Order. Not out in the ring. We got a very bizarre recruitment video. They showed a guy on the subway platform being bullied. He had his glasses knocked off by a couple of kids. Picks him up. His glasses were broken. He gets onto the subway car, sits down, looks up, and he sees an advertisement. I don't know who it was in the advertisement. If he's a wrestler, an actor, I don't know who he is. But this spokesman, as it turns out, we find out at the end of the ad, for the Dark Order. And it's this whole long sales pitch about, you know, you can turn your life around. All you have to do is join us. And so this was very strange. But, you know, this is the kind of thing we need to see more of. It's one thing to send these guys out there. Ooh, they're all spooky. They've got masks. Ooh. All right, well, who gives a shit? You know, this kind of gave me a creepy vibe. So if they have more vignettes like this planned, you know, you can go for the creep factor. That could work. Because I'm still not sold on this whole Dark Order thing. So we'll see if they do more of these. But this was very bizarre. Then we had the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. With the final two men standing. Facing off next week for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Jim Ross on commentary said that it was 7.85 carats. That is what the Diamond Ring is. And it gave me flashbacks many years ago when my friend had gotten where he was getting married, went to the Diamond District in New York City. He was going to help him out and look at some of the rings. And Jacob Donnelly, again, thank you, $5 super chat. Appreciate it. Sean Turner. There it is, Corbin Krang. Look at Krang. Oh, I used to watch those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoons back in the early 90s. That's where Krang is from. That's where that's from, the old cartoon. Thank you. We'd be in the Diamond District looking for diamond rings. Thank God it wasn't me. I wasn't even the one getting married, and I was stressed out. So you talk about carrots and all this, it kind of gave me flashbacks to that whole experience, and I was very thankful that I was not the one with all the pressure on his shoulders trying to pick the right ring, as I'm sure many of you in listening live in the chat right now could attest to. It is a stressful experience. So we had in this battle royal Hangman Page, Pentagon Jr., MJF, The Best Friends, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt, Joey Janela, Orange Cassidy, Kip Sabian, Jimmy Havoc, and Billy Gunn. Badass Billy Gunn. He's an agent, of course, for AEW. Here he is now making his in-ring debut for the first time since Dynamite debuted. I think we may have seen Billy Gunn. We saw him at Double or Nothing, didn't we? I think we saw him in the Battle Royal. There's some kind of Battle Royal at Double or Nothing. Anyway, we haven't seen him since. So this was his Dynamite debut, and not for nothing. Billy Gunn, how old is Billy Gunn? Look, someone in the chat, fill me in. I know he's in his early 50s, right? He's got to be early 50s. Billy Gunn's he's in shape. He's in great shape. So I guess when you're in a position like he is, you have to be ready at all times, right? You never know when you may get the call. Hey, we need you. We need you for a battle royal. We need you for a match. You got to look your best. But Billy Gunn, man, I'll tell you what, he was in better shape than some of the guys who work full time on that roster. And he got a huge pop, huge reaction. Holy shit chance. There's a holy shit chance for a Billy Gunn entrance here in 2019. So he was the 12th and final entrant here in this Battle Royal. Somebody in the chat says 90. No, I don't think. I'll tell you what, if he's 90, he's the best looking 90-year-old I've ever seen. Smartass. Anyway, 56. 56, that can't be true. 56? I had three people just say 56. That can't possibly be true. I have to look this up now. Hold on a second. 56? I thought you were going to tell me he's like 51, 52. Is it really 56? Wow. All right, well, I'll take your word for it. But anyway, Phoenix runs down. This is right at the beginning of the Battle Royal. Hasn't officially started yet. Phoenix runs down, or at least we were supposed to believe that it was Phoenix. He's coming out to support Pentagon. He's coming out to support his fellow Lucha Bro. Only he reveals himself not to be Phoenix, but he reveals himself to be Christopher Daniels. Pentagon takes a swing at him. He misses. And Chuck Taylor, Chucky T of the Best Friends, dumps Pentagon out of the ring. Pentagon is the first man eliminated here in this battle royal. So it seems to me this was done to set up a match between the Lucha Bros and SCU and keep that feud going, which, would make sense because Christopher Daniels, right, the storyline injury, he was out for many weeks. Believe it, if I'm remembering correctly, it was at the hands of the Lucha Bros. So that furthers that program between the two teams. So that was a bit of a surprise. So then Billy Gunn. Well, actually, before we even get to the Billy Gunn stuff, Sonny Kiss, another one. We have not really seen Sonny Kiss on Dynamite until now. They did a spot where Sonny Kiss comes face to face in the ring with Billy Gunn, and he begins twerking in front of Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn says, "Well, anything you can do, I can do better." He turns around, he begins to twerk. It's kind of horrifying to think about. MJF swoops in, he dumps Sonny Kiss out of the ring. Billy Gunn then dumps out a bunch of people. He eliminated Jimmy Havoc. He dumped out Marco Stunt. Jimmy Havoc, though, is beside himself. He runs back inside with a staple gun. He goes crazy. He uses a staple gun on Billy. He uses a staple gun on everybody until referees finally drag him out of the ring. It was like the incident at the restaurant at Tony Schiavone's birthday party all over again. Excalibur wanted to run down and choke him out, but he restrained himself. So they go to commercial, come back, and they explain to us, they show us footage of what happened to Joey Janela. During the commercial break, Sean Spears ran down with a chair. Janela was on the top rope. Spears hit him with a chair, knocked him out to the floor, and Joey Janela is gone. Then we got the mother of all confrontations. This was you think of some classic battles over the years, Hogan Andre, Hogan Warrior, Austin Rock, all these epic confrontations, right? Vince McMahon and the federal government, Vince McMahon and creative, all these epic confrontations. we got maybe the most epic one of all here. Billy Gunn faced off with Orange Cassidy, and the place came unglued. So for all the people who don't get Orange Cassidy, look, I don't get Orange Cassidy. I don't get why he's so popular. Don't ask me. I have no explanation for it. He just is. And that's why AEW signed the guy. Because they saw people seem to like him. They have fun when they see him. As long as you pick your spots with the guy, you know, he's not on television every week. He's not on television in multiple segments. They pick their spots with him. That spot a couple of weeks ago where there was the big brawl in the back with Santana and Ortiz and the Young Bucks. And I think Santana threw Matt Jackson into the door. The door swung open and there's Orange Cassidy in the fucking bathroom. Like, you know. And Santana slowly closes the door. And that was it. That was it. He didn't speak. He didn't do anything. It got a pop. And they moved on. I have no problem with that. But the place went nuts for this guy. He gave Billy Gunn a couple of those devastating kicks to the shins. Place went nuts. Place went nuts. Finally, MJF. He dumps Orange Cassidy out of the ring. Mega heat. MJF is the best. Mega heat for eliminating Orange Cassidy. Now he comes face to face with Billy Gunn. He shoves Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn tells him to suck my dick. That's what he said. That's what he said. He told him to suck his dick. Then he hit the Fame-asser. And he went to go toss MJF out of the ring. MJF holds on like he's Shawn Michaels in 1995. Down comes everyone's favorite. Say it with me now. Say it with me. Out comes Wardlow. And Wardlow comes down. He distracts Billy Gunn long enough for MJF to reach up, rake the eyes. Billy Gunn turns around. Right into a buckshot lariat, turned inside out by Hangman Page. And out to the floor goes Billy Gunn. Not a bad night. He was never going to win. But not a bad showing for Billy Gunn. Kip Sabian, he eliminated Chuck Taylor. Jungle Boy eliminated Sabian. Leaping Rana takes him out over the top rope. And they acted at this point. One of the, maybe Excalibur or Shivani, said that it's going to be Adam Page and Jungle Boy next week. They wanted you to believe that these were the last two men in the Battle Royal. Of course, they weren't. You're not fooling me. MJF was still in the match, but he snuck out. He hadn't been seen for a few minutes. So finally, he reappears, and he pulls Jungle Boy, yanks him down off the apron to the floor, and so it will be Hangman Page and MJF, because as per the rules, the last two men in the Battle Royal now go on to have a singles match next week for the Diamond Ring. Still no explanation about what the ring is for. Why it's important, what it represents, does it get you a title shot? Is it basically the de facto second title in AEW? Is that how they're going to use it? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Do you get married with it? Can you pawn it and get money for it? I don't know. I have no idea. That's what I would do. Go pawn the fucking thing. You'll probably get some good money for it. But I do think the idea could work. Of MJF flaunting a diamond ring on TV every week. I think it fits the character. So, of course, he needs to win next week. I would be beyond shocked if Hangman Page walks out of there with that ring next week. What cowboy wears a ring anyway? Come on. What cowboy do you know wears a diamond ring? Any cowboy that wears a diamond ring is going to get his ass kicked by other cowboys. It's got to be MJF. And then we got Le Champion, Chris Jericho. Out for a major announcement. Now, we've heard teases before here in AEW for these big announcements, these major announcements. And honestly, more often than not, they're disappointing. They're a big letdown. So I've already learned, I've conditioned myself at this point. This is kind of a general rule in wrestling, not just AEW. Whenever you hear a tease for a major announcement, ooh, a big earth-shattering announcement, you better lower your expectations. Because more often than not, these big announcements are not very big at all. So I already had my expectations lowered. I figure it's just some kind of angle. I honestly thought he was just going to announce the Jericho Cruise, that they're having matches on the cruise ship, which they are. I mean, they announced it online. I figure he's going to come out and make this big TV announcement about it. So I wasn't expecting anything big to begin with. But Jericho comes out. He's with Jake Hager. And he says his conduct last week after losing to Scorpio Sky was unbecoming of being the AEW champion. And he's going to apologize. He is teasing that he is going to apologize, and he just can't get the words out. Every time he tries to, he fails, he stops short. So instead, he hands the microphone over to Hager. And Hager says, "I'm sorry." And every time in this promo that Jericho was going to have to say the word sorry, he would hand the mic over to Hager, and Hager would say it for him. I thought that was great. And this really is. This right here, we saw it tonight. They were the only two people in the ring. Hager's in the background. He's the heavy. He's the muscle. This is the right role for him. When he first came in, I was worried. I said, oh boy, Jake Hager is going to be wrestling for the world title now. Is he going to be the big threat? You know, in AEW, I don't need to be seeing Jake Hager in main events. Well, I don't think we've seen Jake Hager wrestle once on Dynamite. Fine with me. This right here is the best role for him. To be in the background, Jericho could be the funny guy, he could be the straight guy. This is the perfect role for him. Jericho's big announcement, what is it? His big announcement is that next week, yes, to an awesome heel in the chat. I thought I was going to say something about that. I wasn't sure if I was seeing things. It did seem to me like Hager was corpsing a little bit. He was trying very hard not to laugh. And I'll say this. I don't envy him, because going forward every week, the challenge for him more than anything, I think, it's not going to be, you know, remembering what he's supposed to say or anything else. The challenge for him is going to be not cracking up laughing in the middle of these promos. Because I don't think I'd be able to do it. Anyway, the big announcement is that next week, Jericho finally is going to get his thank you. The thank you that he has been waiting months for from AEW management, from the head honchos at Time Warner and TBS and TNT. He gets his Thanksgiving thank you next week. He goes, there's going to be games, there's going to be prizes, there's going to be surprises, there's going to be a clown. So apparently Seth Rollins is making his Dynamite debut next week. It's going to be one big, in his words, one big Thanksgiving celebration for Le Champion. I can't quite do it the way that he did it, but you get the point. So he's going to leave. He's made his announcement. That's it. His night is done. And he goes to leave, and all three members of SCU come walking out. Trevon Clark. What's going on, Trevon? $5 super chat. Did you see the Suck It Vince sign in the crowd? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I believe there was another sign that says I Googled Hoovy. If somebody can verify that for me. I thought that was funny. It's a little play off of the promo from a few weeks ago with Jericho and MJF. Actually, was it last week? 2 weeks ago. Anyway, yeah, there were some good ones in the crowd tonight. SCU comes out. Scorpio Sky. On the microphone, he reminds Jericho of why he threw that tantrum at the end of Dynamite last week. It's because in the main event, he handed Jericho his very first AEW loss. That was the first loss of any kind that Jericho has suffered since debuting in AEW. And he was all smile. Scorpio Sky said, my God, even my high school crush, Melanie Parsons, called me out of the blue and we're going out next week. And Jericho says, well, you know, I've seen Melanie Parsons, and she's put on a lot of weight since high school. Scorpio doesn't seem to mind this. He says, I like big butts, and I cannot lie. Of course, he didn't finish the song. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Beef at the jeans she's wearing. Hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I want to get with ya. Take your picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that... All right, anyway. I'll continue that after if you really want me to, but I don't think you do. So Jericho says... Jericho... They're going back and forth. And basically, the baby faces are trying to screw with Jericho. They're trying to convince him that they don't want an AEW championship match next week. So, of course, Jericho says, oh, you don't want a championship match? Well, that means you do want a championship match. I'll put my title on the line against you, absolutely. So the end result of all of this is that Scorpio Sky has himself an AEW championship match next Wednesday. Jericho, they shake hands. Jericho says, it's official, we shook hands. Thus negating the need to ever again have another contract signing, which is okay with me. I'm perfectly fine with that. My God, people are going nuts, and I think they actually want me to finish this song. I may have just screwed myself. We need a full version. You know, I'm actually afraid. I wonder if I sing this song, if I'll be struck for copyright. If the algorithm will pick up on me actually singing the song, and it will punish me. This, you know, YouTube is getting worse and worse by the week. I don't even know, where'd I leave off in that song anyway? Maybe I will finish it. Anyway, let me finish this first. So, the match is official for next week. Scorpio Sky, he gets serious. He says, you know, I've waited 15 years. 15 years for this opportunity. And next week, I'm going to make Le Champion my Le Bitch. And Jericho attacks him, and the Inner Circle members lay out SCU. Brandon Cutler runs down to try to make the save. He gets beaten down. Michael Nakazawa runs down. He gets beaten down. And Jericho lays out Scorpio Sky with the Judas Effect. Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt. First, Marco Stunt runs in. He gets laid out by Jericho. Jungle Boy comes down, and the place goes nuts. People love Jungle Boy. They love this guy. As Magician Sapphire with the $2 Super Chat, please finish it. Please finish it. What are you, Ryback now? Finish it? Hey, you know, you'd have to send in a few of those Russo on a Pole Super Chats to get me to finish this, my friend. I don't think you want out of this. Trust me. No, really. Seriously, you don't. Don't do this. This is not going to end well. So Jungle Boy gets laid out. And behind Jungle Boy comes Luchasaurus. And Luchasaurus comes down. Jericho, of course, at this point says, you know what? I think I've seen enough. And he bails. Hager stays behind. And they tease a confrontation face-to-face. Luchasaurus, Jake Hager. Hager takes his watch off, and then he thinks better of it, and he bails too. So that was a nice little tease. And one of the things I loved about this, I loved this entire segment, but one of the things I loved about this, I love how they just, in this one segment, set up no less than three other matches, potential matches in the next few weeks and months that they could do. You know, next week we're going to get Jericho and Scorpio Sky. They set up a potential match down the road, though, between Jericho and Jungle Boy. They set up a potential match between Hager and Luchasaurus. And they set up a potential match between Jericho and Luchasaurus, possibly for the championship. I could see Luchasaurus being the one to eventually take that title of Jericho. So they set up a whole bunch of matches here in this one segment. Raw is Jimbo. Thank you for the super chat. Feed me more, he says. There it is, Russo on a pole. I say it every week. Look how cute he is. A big head. Tiny body, but a big head. Big mouth, too. Chris Jericho, if I could just say this. I know this is not exactly breaking news here. Chris Jericho is the absolute best thing going anywhere in wrestling today. Firmly believe that. Now, I know Steve Austin said something very similar on his podcast a few weeks ago. But I think it bears repeating again. This may go down before it's all said and done. This may go down as the best run of Jericho's career. Jericho's had a lot of phases in his career. Conspiracy theory, Jericho in WCW. Y2J when he first came into WWE. I know he had the team with Christian for a while. I don't know if you count that as like a run. We had Jericho later on as, you know, the suit-wearing, serious Jericho. And the feud with Shawn Michaels. I love that 2008 run. That's his best run as far as I'm concerned. Then you have the List version of Jericho. And there's probably two or three other versions I'm not even thinking of. New Japan Jericho. He may be in the middle of the best run of his career. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. Now his matches may not be what they used to be. Although he's had a lot of great matches even at this age. But yes, he's slower, he's older, and his matches are not technically what they used to be. But when you look at the totality of his run, not just the matches, character development, promos, it's incredible what he's been able to do. And he's what, 51? 50-ish, somewhere around there? That's right. Someone in the chat says potted plant Jericho, scarf wearing Jericho. When Jericho came back that one time and didn't speak. Remember, he just came out and he went crazy and then he just left. Whatever the fuck that was. I mean, he's had so many different incarnations. It's ridiculous. But I truly believe that. I truly believe he may well end up being in the midst of the best run he's had so far. Adam Timmons, thank you for the super chat. Says, supposed to be at work. Instead, waiting for a doctor to attend to me instead. Plus, Solid Monster is live. Well, I hope everything's okay. I hope you're not dying. Don't die on me. Got a lot of wrestling coming up this weekend. Don't die yet. Luchasaurus, he stayed out there. He was scheduled to have a match against the librarian, Peter Avalon. If you blinked, you missed it. Luchasaurus killed him, basically made him extinct. And then it was time for Private Party against Santana and Ortiz. This was a tribute match to their friend, the late Matt Travis from House of Glory. Although he competed in a variety of independents on the East Coast, House of Glory really was his home. He was killed, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. You heard me talk about this. In fact, HOG just had a show this past weekend, this past Saturday, that I had the chance to help call in tribute to Matt Travis. And so both teams were actually at the HOG show on Saturday. They didn't wrestle. But I saw Santana and Ortiz were there. Marquand, Isaiah, they were all there. And they were here tonight against one another. Excalibur even mentioned on commentary the stat about Travis becoming the 28th bicyclist to be killed this year in New York City. 28 cyclists killed in New York City this year. Unfortunately, he is number 28 on that list. But I thought, you know, shout out to AEW because, look, they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to acknowledge it. They didn't have to explain the backstory behind it. They didn't have to say the nice things they said about Matt. And, you know, the fact that they did that, I think, is something that should be applauded. I think that was a very cool, very nice, and respectful thing for them to do. So as far as these two teams are concerned, they had a good match. Hardly the best match that we've seen from either one of them, but I thought it was good. There was one clunky spot. Unfortunately, a lot of people are probably going to talk about this and just harp on this. And I'm not even sure it was their fault or the referee's fault, but there was a clunky spot where I believe it was Isaiah Cassidy went for a cover. It was like a Code Red, maybe a cover on Ortiz. And again, if I'm screwing up the names here, forgive me, but he went for the cover and referee Paul Turner counted to two and went to count three, and then he stopped. Now, I didn't get a visual if Santana grabbed his leg or not, but he just stopped. And to the naked eye, it looks like he just held up the count because somebody screwed something up. Now, maybe it was Santana missed his cue to break up the fall and the referee was just trying to cover for him. I suppose that's possible. Was it a case where... Now, the announcer said that the legal man was not in the ring. And the referee noticed this, and therefore he had to stop the count. I don't know if that's bullshit. I don't know if that's true. If it is, then that's on the referee, if that's the case. If that's accurate, that is on the referee. Because if the referee sees that the illegal man is in the ring, then why the hell are you counting twice? Why are you counting at all? You don't count at all in that situation. So I don't know who is at fault, and it was... You know, they moved on. It's not like it ruined the entire match, but it's one of those hiccups that, you know, a lot of people are probably going to be wondering, hey, what the hell happened? Private Party ended up winning the match with the Gin and Juice, one of my favorite finishes. Really is a very innovative finish. To get to that point, though, there was a nice sequence there at the end. Again, they recovered, I thought, you know, nicely enough. They went for the silly string. Marquand's back gave out. Excuse me. His back had been worked on, so his back went out. He was selling the back. And there was a double team on Isaiah Cassidy for a two count. Tower of London spot gets two. And Santana went for a slapjack. Nick Jackson came down. Nick Jackson comes back out after his match with Phoenix earlier. And he had taken the weapon away from Santana, ripped it right out of his hands, and that's what led to the Gin and Juice for the win. The other thing I think that also kind of hurt this match a little bit there were two commercial breaks, and it wasn't a long match. Like, if you have a 20-minute match and you have two commercial breaks, even in a 20-minute match, it's like, all right, come on, you know, because it really does kill the momentum. This match went about 11 minutes, maybe 12. So to have two commercial breaks in a 12-minute match, that's a lot. That's a lot of commercial time. And then you throw that little botch spot in there. That didn't do them any favors. I still thought, though, in the end, they had a good match. Sammy Guevara ran down to attack. All the while, he's vlogging. Every time we see Sammy on TV, he's vlogging. He's going to come out with a selfie stick. A longer selfie stick soon. He's a multitasker. That brings out Dustin Rhodes. His arm is still in a cast. He's selling that injury. He used it as a weapon. Knocked out each member of the Inner Circle that was out there. And that is how the segment ended. Anonymous, thank you for the $4.99 super chat, making Bray run away on screen right now. Keep up the great work. I appreciate that. Trevon, again, $5 super chat. Who is the best tag team? Who has the best tag team division of wrestling right now? I've said it before. I think AEW does. I mean, you can combine all the different brands in WWE, but, you know, if you look at it brand specific, and you don't count NXT, you don't lump the NXT teams in with the WWE main roster teams, I have to say AEW. Now, AEW definitely doesn't have the strongest women's division. WWE, you know, gets the, with all the women they have. Actually, you know what I would say right now? I actually might say that NXT has the best women's division. The women have been killing it in NXT these last few weeks. And the build-up to War Games, even more so than the main roster. I might say the best women's division right now in wrestling is NXT. But the best tag team division belongs to AEW. Raymond Gay, thank you for a $4.99 super chat. Keep up the great work, he says. And Carlos M. Melanie Parsons, more over than Seth Rollins. Yes, Melanie Parsons. Well, tonight she was. Melanie Parsons. I wonder if that's a real person. Got to find out now. Got to look her up on Facebook. See if I'm sure there is a Melanie Parsons out there somewhere. I'm just, you know, maybe it's one of their girlfriends or something. I don't know. Laxus Dreyer, $4.99 super chat. Dude, loving the show. You're doing a great job. Well, thank you very much. Well, that brings us to our main event. Jon Moxley against Darby Allin. Allin comes out, carried out in a body bag that says Mox on it. So he comes out, he skateboards his way down to the ring. Moxley gets his intro through the crowd, his shield entrance. And as soon as he comes over, Allin attacks him right away. They're brawling into the crowd, and Darby Allin is doing a running dive over the barricade into the crowd. It's craziness. Craziness here at the start of this match. So we skip ahead a little bit. Later in the match, Moxley gets a hold of the body bag. Allin hits a suicide dive. Tope suicide. Excalibur. Oh boy, he sure does love shouting that, doesn't he? Tope suicide. Actually, so does Mauro Ranallo. They both go crazy on the tope suicidas. You know, as sensitive as everybody is these days about pretty much everything, it kind of shocks me. I shouldn't say this because now, you know, I'll jinx it now. But I'm kind of surprised they even say the word suicide on TV. Like, you would think, especially in WWE by now, I mean, think of all the words, like the banned words in WWE. It is kind of surprising that they haven't banned that word too. Oh, we can't call them suicide dives. We'll have to come up with a different name for it. We'll just call them dives. This guy's going to take a dive. It's PG. Can't say suicide. It's kind of surprising. Anyway, Moxley, he just absolutely destroys Darby Allin with a lariat. So now he gets the body bag. And he places Darby Allin, who doesn't weigh all that much. Darby Allin is not a big person. He's not a big guy. And he puts him in the body bag. This is like old school Undertaker shit from 1991. He would beat the guy with a tombstone. Paul Bearer would bring the body bag in, zip him up, drop a big elbow or a big leg drop on the guy. So he starts putting the boots to him in the body bag. Referee finally lets him out. And he fights back. He fights back, runs into a black hole slam. Moxley goes for the Death Rider. Allin counters it, sends him into the post. Code Red, only a two count. Allen goes up top. You know what he's going for. Naturally, he's going for the coffin drop. This was a great spot. Allen falls backwards. He goes to hit the coffin drop. He lands right between Moxley's legs, trapped in a rear naked choke. But he does the old, what I call the old Bret Hart spot, although I'm sure others have used it, obviously. But it always reminds me of WrestleMania 8, Survivor Series 96. He does the escape out of the rear naked choke. Moxley's shoulders are down. He kicks out. They work up to the top rope. Moxley bites his face, takes a bite out of Darby Allin's face, and he absolutely fucking killed this guy. He hit an avalanche death rider from the top rope, and he spiked him down right on top of his head. Holy shit. I would have come on the air tonight for this stream ranting and raving if Darby Allin would have kicked out of this move. The whole time as Moxley is going for the cover, the only thing I'm thinking is this guy better not fucking kick out of this move. If he kicks out of this move, I'm done. I'm finished. Thank God he did not. Moxley actually pinned him. He won with it. Good night and rest in peace, Darby Allin. That was vicious. It looked great, but it was scary as all hell. Dropped him right on top of his head. Jesus Christ. So John Moxley comes out of this looking like $1 million, and they go off the air with him talking some smack into the camera. And they've already got a full lineup. Thank you, Ryan. $2 super chat. Appreciate it. Solid Monsters beer fund. No, you could contribute to Solid Monsters alcohol fund. Forget the beer. Some beer is nasty. Need something stronger than that. Need something stronger than that on Mondays. Come on, help me out here. We've already got a full lineup for next week's Thanksgiving Eve show. I didn't even realize that next week is Thanksgiving Eve. I suppose I'll be back here going live as always next Wednesday. But yeah, they're running a Thanksgiving Eve show, just like the old Survivor Series tradition from all those years ago when it used to be the Thanksgiving Eve tradition in WWE. So next week on Dynamite, we've got Chris Jericho defending the AEW Championship against Scorpio Sky. Kenny Omega, one-on-one against Pac. This is a rematch from All Out when Pac beat Omega. We've got MJF taking on Hangman Page. Last two men in the Battle Royal are going to meet one-on-one for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. And they are promoting the return of Cody. I don't remember. Was Cody on the... I don't believe he was on the show last week. My timeline in my head is all screwed up. I believe he was, right? That was the segment with Wardlow when he came out. I'm all screwed up right now. Anyway, this will be his return from that show. We will get to hear from Cody. We will see... This is the problem. There's too much wrestling on TV. I'm getting everything confused. There's too much wrestling on television. There's some really great wrestling. And there's some really fucking awful, terrible, horrendous wrestling. But there's some really great wrestling too. And it's on Wednesday nights. Like, I'm looking forward when I'm done here to going and seeing what I missed on NXT. It's been a long time since I've had that feeling on a particular day of the week where I actually look forward to the shows. It's a good feeling. I like it. I can get used to this. And it goes both ways, not just AEW. NXT has been awesome. But they've got a full lineup already, and this is one of the other things I can appreciate about AEW. They've been doing this now for several weeks. They will take the time to announce a full card. And I'm talking 3-4 matches, maybe 5 matches deep. You know, a week in advance, 5 days, 4 days in advance. They got everything lined up for you. It's not a big surprise about, well, what are they going to do tonight? They're going to book on the fly. No, they have an idea. They have, you know, a plan. And they let you know exactly what to expect a week out. They get you excited for the show. I like that. And they're in Chicago next week. Chicago is going to be rocking this entire week. You know, they're in Chicago this weekend for War Games and for Survivor Series. Then they turn right back around. It's a different building. It's not Allstate. But they're back in Chicago for AEW on Wednesday. So if Charlotte and Charleston and Indianapolis have been this loud the last 3 weeks, you can only imagine what Chicago is going to be like next week. And Thanksgiving Eve, for those people who may be wondering, well, how, you know, what's the crowd going to be like? It's Thanksgiving Eve. It's a holiday. Maybe things are different now. But you got to remember 30 years ago, 35 years ago, you know, Thanksgiving, not even Thanksgiving Eve, like Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, these were huge nights for wrestling. These were maybe some of the biggest nights all year. Now, maybe today it's different. People don't go out on holidays. They spend time with their family. They travel. But traditionally, Thanksgiving and Christmas were like the two big nights of the year. So hopefully they'll have a packed house next week. Let's hop on over. Parvinder Singh, thank you for the super chat. Long live Kenny Olivier and Jelly Janella. Huh, I got that reference. I actually got that reference. So here we go. We are going to check both polls. I'm going to flash the AEW poll, and then we're going to take a look at the NXT poll. We're going to see who's winning so far. Oh, it's so exciting. Let's see who's in the lead right now, AEW. We've got over 1,400 votes so far. 85% thumbs up, 15% thumbs down. So pretty much in line with what AEW has been doing largely in these polls for these last several weeks. It's an overwhelmingly positive response. And now we flash over to the NXT poll. Let's take a look at how NXT is doing. Not bad. Less votes, about 400 fewer votes so far. 1,019 votes, 81% thumbs up, 19% thumbs down. So slightly lower than AEW, but again, over 80% positive. It's an overwhelmingly positive score for NXT. So both shows are neck and neck. Again, there's plenty of time to vote at Solomonster. As you can see there on your screen, that is my handle, that is my avatar, that is my Twitter. You can go right now. The polls are open for the next 48 hours. You can go and vote and let me know what you thought of the two shows tonight. Now, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. I'm not taking phone calls tonight. We're going to skip because I am going to be recording a Sound Off Extra covering the CM Punk appearance from WWE Backstage last night. This was CM Punk's very first appearance, formally, not at the very end of the show. This was technically his debut appearance on Backstage, and he had a few things to say. And he got a lot of people talking. And he got some people salty, too. I guess it wouldn't be CM Punk on the microphone if he didn't. We also have ratings in. We also got those numbers in. We know how the show did last night. And I'm going to get into all of that as soon as I go off the air here in a moment. I will be recording that extra, and I will be posting it later tonight. So if you guys are not going to bed yet, you want to hang around, it may be a few hours, but that'll be going up hopefully in the next couple of hours. So you've got lots of more content coming here to the channel. This ain't it. If you think this is it, you guys are in for a rude awakening. We got a lot of stuff. We got Survivor Series coming up this weekend. It's a lot of good shit coming to this channel. Brian, thank you for the $3 super chat. Whiskey or vodka? I have a very simple answer for you. Vodka is the devil. Whiskey. Whiskey all the time. What you are looking at on your screen right now, and this is not just for my own shirt and my own store, but if any of you do any shopping on Pro Wrestling Tees, so you know, they have a Black Friday sale. That sale begins this Friday. They're starting it early this year. It's a 10-day sale. It starts on November 22nd. It runs all the way through December 1st. Certain parts of the site, you can get up to 40% off some items in our store. And you see the address on the very bottom there, prowrestlingtees.com/Solomonster Sounds Off. You got to type in the full name of the show. All shirts in our store are 20% off starting this Friday at, I believe, 1 p.m. Eastern. You don't need any promo code. There's no coupon code. There's no discount code. Wait until Friday afternoon. And starting Friday, 20% off all shirts in our store. That's the newest one. Some people were asking about it. And so we have the 12-year anniversary Sound Off logo t-shirt on a black shirt. It is up in the store right now. You don't even have to wait until Friday. But I would say wait. That way you get a couple of bucks off. And so that would be fantastic. If you want to support the podcast and get the new anniversary shirt, there it is. And that is the place to go starting this Friday. So, like I said, I'm going to head out. We're going to cut the show short here. We'll get back to phone calls probably next week. But I'm going to go record the extra now, get that up on the channel. Thank you so much for all the support. I appreciate it as always. Arturo Vasquez, $5 super chat, says the best part is CM Punk's opinion about the dog segment. Ah, yes. I'm going to get into that as well. Zach Attack TV, $3.99 super chat. Appreciate it. Yeah, there were a lot of signs in the crowd tonight, not just the Cornette one. And I'll be talking about him this weekend. There's a lot of news. Feels like every week somebody else is putting their foot in their mouth, somebody else is tweeting something stupid or saying something stupid. What is going on here? People are losing their minds. Well, hey, more content for me. More content for me means more content for you. So hopefully you guys will tune in for that. I'm out of here. Thank you for joining me again. Stay tuned for the Sound Off Extra and join me this weekend, Survivor Series. I'm going to be back here on the channel live on Sunday night. Until then, take care, guys.